Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Panning the Stream. My name is Dan Reichert. My wife, sitting across the table from me, her name is Bianca Reichert.
It's Bianca. Hi.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well. How are you?
Good. You know, trying to have to take a little break between what we just watched and recording just to kind of get myself mentally right after, you know, there's just those heavier things you watch sometimes. And
it wasn't one of those movies you could just walk away from.
No, you can't. You need time to recalibrate. And reconsider things.
For sure.
Your life.
I mean, what people are saying about the Joker.
Yes.
I feel like this movie is deserving of that kind of discussion. You know?
This pilot, this unused or unpicked up.
Unsold.
Yes. Puchinsky.
It's called Puchinsky.
The name of it is Puchinsky. And if you're coming into this podcast blind and did not look up anything about the show or watch it, let's tell you what the show is about.
Peter Boyle, whose name happens to be Puchinsky.
Yes, Stanley Puchinsky.
Yeah, so if this little miracle was going to happen to anyone, it would be a man named Puchinsky.
If his name was like Meowsubchin or something, he would turn into a cat.
What was that?
I was trying to think of a way to make a cat pun. sound like a name. What would you do?
Well, I mean, think about it this way. Puchinsky, it isn't Ruffinsky, it's Pooch.
Oh, so it's the noun. Like, it's the noun.
Yeah.
So like, kitten, kit.
Cat,
on the spot, it's hard.
Well, I mean, Puchinsky flows so easily.
Okay, Kittinsky.
Kittinsky.
Kittinsky, and then he turns into a kitten. That's how that would work. But no, he's Puchinsky. He's yeah, Stanley Puchinsky.
I don't know if the show it might have been better if it was a kitten. I don't know.
I think it, I think it works. I think the gruffness of Peter Boyle's demeanor and his voice lends itself to a salty bulldog.
Yeah, Peter Boyle turns into a bulldog. And it's a bulldog who occasionally is a real bulldog. And then when he's talking, it's this like puppet thing. And I was looking at the puppet, and every feature of that puppet did resemble a dog's feature.
Face was kind of like if the dog's face was just an abject terror all the time.
Well, and then it's just all those features put together didn't make a dog. It just made this weird, like, kind of like, you know how when you're in preschool and you learn to draw and you just do like big circles and you just do like two dots for an eye and a little line for a smile? Like, it's like that. Someone was drawing a dog, and it just ended up being a big oval with a smile, and that's what its face looked like.
But they're pretty confident in the look of the dog, because we get several extreme close-ups on this dog's face. Like, just cut away and then cut closer to the dog's eye as they're staring at each other while their souls swap. So let's explain the science behind how Stanley Puchinsky turns into a literal dog.
I love how shows in the 90s, like, it's like, you have this crazy premise. You don't bother explaining it. We'll just go along with it. But the fact that they feel the need to explain it, it's like Peter Boyle got into an accident.
Yeah, I feel like it was like the bare minimum, which is exactly what I think this plot needed. It was just like, okay, we see a few minutes of him as Peter Boyle, and then just like, okay, establish he was a cop, establish something happened, and now their souls swapped in some kind of Freaky Friday or Trading Places or, you know, one of those setups.
Yeah, we learn a lot about Stephen Puchinsky.
Stanley.
Stanley
Puchinsky, yeah.
We learn a lot about Stanley in that first 5 or 10 minutes when he's a human. We learn that he's a really lonely guy. He doesn't really care for etiquette, right? He's a big animal lover. He loves dogs. And he's also responsible for solving some of the biggest cases, I guess, this police department has ever seen, because the police chief, I assume that's the chief.
The police chief from Last Action Hero.
Is it the same one?
It definitely is. I looked it up. Yep.
He's, you know, excitedly talking about how this guy's apparently a very competent police officer. So even though he might not be good at being, you know, a regular person, he is a good policeman.
Hey, don't mistake hygiene for character.
That's exactly what he said.
He's brash and dirty and everything, but he gets the job done. He stopped the Postal Service bomber. He solved all sorts of, I guess there's a string of ATM robberies going on here, which is the core drama behind the police work in this pilot episode here. But Speaking of police work, Peter Boyle at one point at the beginning goes into an alleyway and some like it's like three 10-year-olds and the first one whips out like a switchblade and then Peter Boyle just pulls a gun on these children.
Wait, you're skipping over the worst part. They're just it's just these bunch of kids in an alley standing around a dog and just kicking the dog.
Yeah, yeah. I think he just knows the kids are like up to no good at first and they have the quick like knife gun standoff. The kids run off and then he notices like, oh, they were just like beating a dog next to a garbage can in an alley. So he befriends him right away.
Well, he says, leave that dog alone when he first sees it. And that's what starts the interaction.
Yeah,
so he
yeah.
knew there was a dog there.
Yeah, and he's like a dog lover. So he goes in there, gets a kiss and everything, talks to the dog, feeds him the remainder of his hot dog. And then I think it's just he takes the dog.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes his. And
I mean, a dog, I love dogs. I love all dogs. But a dog you meet on the street, I wouldn't readily let that dog lick my face a ton like he was.
Yeah, you don't know the history there.
Yeah.
You don't know where that dog's been. And probably a friendly dog. He seems like a great little dog here. But, yeah. Also, Puchinsky, it seems like he's not necessarily well-liked by everyone at the police force. He says at one point, what's the, like, hey, I'm fucking your wife joke?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because Schrader, or Shriver, the asshole policeman, sees him in the car, sees Peter Boyle in the car getting kisses from the dog. And he's like, oh, you got it. The only person that'll give you kisses. And then
right.
Peter Boyle's like, oh, don't let that get around the police station. I don't want your wife to think I'm cheating on her. Something
right.
Like that.
Oh, yeah. I'm only faithful to your wife or something like that.
Yeah. It's and the Shriver guy or whatever his name is just looks at him like absolutely disgusted.
Yeah. Like this guy sucks.
Yeah. It was weird. Yeah.
That guy with the flat top, I looked him up and I thought I recognized him from, like, he's been in a bunch of movies I've seen, but not in, like, major roles. But then I saw he also wrote the commentary for NFL Blitz, the, like, when they tried to bring it back in, like, 2012.
Oh,
so,
weird.
Didn't expect that. But yeah, so they're at a stakeout and they order a pizza. And at one point, Peter Boyle says, shrimp and pineapple. What do I look like, a health nut? Which I feel like that's something my dad would say, thinking that like shrimp and pineapple was like a healthy diet on a pizza.
They're the healthiest toppings for a pizza.
I mean, I guess one is a fruit, and I guess if you're going to get meat on a pizza, I guess shrimp is probably like in the better options, right?
Well, it's all going on a pizza, so.
Yeah, kind of negates it. Mm. So they're on the stakeout, of which we've got no real history on what's going on with the ATM robberies, just that they're happening. And Puchinsky grabs the dog after the dog goes after the robber. Like, they're chasing the robber guy. Puchinsky grabs the dog and gets hit by a car.
The car the robber's driving, I think.
Yeah, it's like the getaway car, and he gets slammed into another car. It seems like he's dying, basically. He talks to McKay, his partner. And then he just kind of looks at the dog, and like I thought they were going to fall into some like science experiment or have some origin story or something, but they don't even try at all. He's just like looking at the dog. It cuts back and forth as it zooms in like 80 times, and then sound effects, and I guess he's the dog now.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And so cut to graveyard. He's having the funeral for Puchinsky.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought this was weird that after the funeral stuff is over, basically, the dog starts talking to McKay. And McKay's first reaction is not like, holy shit, this dog is talking to me. His thing is like, wait, are you really Puchinsky? Not like, what the fuck, this dog is looking at me and talking with his mouth moving. It's not like one of those movies where it's just you see the face. Like, it's like animatronic mouth is flapping.
Yeah, I feel like that would be the first question. Like, holy shit, you're a talking dog?
Yeah, but he's like, no, okay, tell me something only Puchinsky would know. He's like, no, hang on, you're burying the lead here. That dog is talking to you. So, and then Puchinsky seems like a veteran dog despite it just happening, because he's just like, yeah, being a dog's great. I get to do this. I can sit wherever I want. I can lick my balls, like whatever the hell he says.
He's totally cool with the whole situation.
Yeah, but like at this point, how much time has elapsed? Like, how long has he been a dog and he's like totally fine with it? He's not like just freaking the fuck out.
Probably at most like, we see Stanley's death and then we see the funeral. So I would say at least like 24 hours, you know, probably 48 hours.
So he really came to terms with his fate pretty quickly,
yes.
I think.
Yes, well, so we think.
Well, yes. He has an existential crisis in the bathroom yes. later. But for now, he's just kind of liking the freedom. He likes how, he's still a horny old dog, literally now.
Mm. Yeah, he talks about like, oh, you see a gal you like? You don't have to bother with the small talk. Like, what? So you don't have to do the small talk because you're a dog, but what does that mean? You could just jump into bed with a human woman?
Well, they hand him off to Casey, the lady at the police station, and he just starts, like, motorboating her, and then it cuts to some police chief thing, and it cuts back, and he's, like, knocking her over, like, mounting her while it's, like, bow down, bow down. It's just...
Oh, yeah, the music in this show. Gee whiz.
It's just constantly that, like, old, like, Robert Johnson blues riffs. Bow down, bow down. Fucking George Thorogood music consultant. But like,
during the transfer of souls, or however you want to talk about that sequence, there was this like weird synthy, like just the most generic Casio keyboard choir sound. Like,
yeah. Oh, oh, oh. It's like a MIDI effect when you find like a dungeon key in a Zelda game on 64 or something. So did you catch what he was doing when he was explaining all the benefits of being a dog? Like why he was like, he's eating the grass and then McKay's like, dude, you're going to get sick. And he's like, yeah, that's the point. Like, what? Why was he into that? If he knew that was going
to
happen.
Yeah, dogs will eat grass to get sick. Or to get sick, to throw up.
Oh, so was he feeling? So he was feeling bad at the time, and he was, so he understood the dog situation.
I suppose.
Okay. At a certain point, McKay and Puchinsky are arguing in the apartment because they live together. And I really like the back and forth of, look at you, you're a dog. And then him being pissed off and this animatronic dog going, I'm a cop. Like, it's just this out of context, this dog screaming, I'm a cop, was killing me. Well, can other people hear him?
Oh, that's a good question. I think maybe because remember when he gets on the elevator and he's like, fifth floor, please. And the guy presses the button.
Oh, he did press it?
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. He just didn't look up from his paper. If he would have looked up from his newspaper, who would have seen that it was a dog that was asking that question?
Okay. I must have missed that quick cut because I saw that scene. And I was like, wait, I thought he didn't press the button. Maybe he can't hear it. Maybe just McKay is insane. So, okay. All right. So other people can hear this dog.
You know what? I feel like the show would play out a lot better if that was the case, if only McKay could hear the dog. Like it was some... you know, intrinsic bond he had with his police force partner or something. So only he could hear him. That would make the show a lot easier to, that story a lot easier to tell, probably.
Because it raises questions, too. If, like, if everyone can hear him, why is he choosing to only talk to McKay? Because, like, he's, like, hanging around the police station. He's hanging around his dates with that widow in the apartment that the kid comes on the dates. Like, he's not talking to anyone but McKay.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Also, how old is he now? Like, what's the deal with that? Would he be like, if the dog's five, is Puchinsky five now?
I feel like the ages didn't shift, but I feel like they're probably about the same. You know, like, he seemed like a gruff, older dog. You know, he didn't seem like a puppy.
So he probably only has, like, a year left.
Yeah, but you know what? Yeah, he's on the police force. He can get a lot done.
He's worn out from living on the streets.
Yeah, well, you can stop a string of ATM robberies in that year.
That's true.
So I don't know why a defining characteristic of Puchinsky is constantly trying to get his friend laid.
Yeah. Well, he's a good friend, I guess.
I guess he's like, so there's the lady in the apartment, the widow, played by the woman who plays Mina in Dracula, Dead and Loving It.
She's in a lot of movies of this era. She looks very familiar to me. I feel like maybe she was in that Drew Carey show or something. I don't know. She looks so familiar to me.
She had a bunch of credits in like around, you know, the late 80s, early 90s that I saw. So, yeah, she's barely a character in this. She just kind of like shows up to make dinner at the house. And so Puchinsky's trying to set the mood. He's trying to like change the radio dial to like romantic music.
Yeah, a recurring song in this show is that everybody wants some. What is it called?
Everybody needs somebody sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
That's what it is. Yeah, which honestly really isn't like, it's a sweet song to play like during an old-timey Christmas movie.
Or to go a 50th wedding anniversary or something. Not yeah, like, hey, let's
it's so
set the
on
mood.
The nose. Like, these people aren't even dating.
Yeah, and the child is there. Don't be trying to set the mood here. Like,
totally.
This is not that kind of date.
But yeah, Puchinsky's using the fact that he's a kid, or a kid, a dog, to be able to do things that, you know, it would be weird for Stanley Puchinsky to do.
But like, also, he has to explain it, though. Like, if he's turning on the romantic music or whatever... Mm-hmm. Stanley either has to be like, yeah, I did that, I'm trying to get laid, or I don't know what's going on to my radio, it's turning on and just switching the station automatically.
Yeah, those the girl and the mom there, they don't ask a lot of questions.
No.
I mean, that McKay is clearly very preoccupied with this dog that's in his apartment.
I don't think they really clarify what happens in that date. Like, is there a finish to that?
Oh, no.
Do we find out if it went well? I mean, I guess that was going to be the remainder of the season if they picked up like 22 episodes
of
Puchinsky.
Yeah, but we don't know what happened with that dinner.
Yeah, maybe that was meant to be like an ongoing story thread through that season.
Yeah.
That we'll never see.
But anyway, at some point during the date, Paczynski kind of has a breakdown when he looks in the bathroom mirror and is confronted with the fact that he's actually a dog. And he looks in the mirror and he says, "Look at me, I've become a dog."
I've lost everything. I've lost my identity. Well, he's looking at himself in the mirror. Like it's a heavy scene here with Paczynski. Also, how did he get up there? Because it's like waist high. And he's a little stout bulldog.
Yeah, he is quite stout.
That dog's not making it up there.
No.
He did just destroy the room in the day. Why did because he got shut in the room, and so he destroyed it in revenge.
Mm-hmm.
He was just trying to set the mood, and then he just tried to quarantine him in a room.
Yeah, you know, it would be really hard to have a dog that had, like, human-level intelligence.
It would, yes. It would raise all sorts of ethical questions.
Well, like, ethical questions aside, like, can you just imagine, like, a dog with human intellect wouldn't be satisfied with kibble. You know, would scream at us if he could talk and was able to be like, "I have to pee. Take me out now." Like, Razor is used to his routine, so he knows when he goes, but...
I think you would have to think way more about the level of entertainment you would provide. Yeah. Because, like, Razor is totally fine with just, like, I'm throwing a rope toy every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
If it was a human-like dog, I think I would need to get him, like, a DS or something.
Yeah, I think McKay, or Grillman, my dad, and his dog Louie, and Paczynski and McKay have a similar bond. Because Grillman will leave, like, Channel 4 on for Louie when he leaves the house.
Yeah, we leave the radio on for Razor here.
This is television. This is moving pictures.
It's true.
Yeah.
It is true. I like Paczynski. I like the dog. That seemed like a good dog. I was about to ask where he's at now, probably, but that was 1990.
That dog is definitely
dead. That dog's extremely dead.
The dog would be older than me.
I didn't look up the dog on IMDb.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So it ends with, you know, we get the big payoff for the ATM subplot here. ATM guy shows up. They chase him into an alley. He crunches on his nards with a good sound effect there. A good nard bite. Dog gets in. It's a real just kind of crunch Foley sound effect.
Yeah.
Liked it a lot. And then it's just some fun comic relief at the end there while they're watching. What are they watching? Oh, they're watching a horse race back at the apartment, Paczynski and McKay. And then the dog is like pissed off and he's like, "Hey, I got to pay attention here. I got money on this race." So how did... Okay, first of all, this is pre-internet, so you're not betting online. So what are we to believe about Paczynski? Did he go down like dressed in a trench coat and a hat pretending to be a person and spoke and put in a bet at the horse races?
I mean, that's what had to have happened.
That's what really broke the immersion for me.
Yeah, and then there's like that part where McKay takes a handful of popcorn and puts it in his mouth, and then right afterward Paczynski put his whole face in the bowl of popcorn and takes a bite, and then McKay spits out his popcorn as if it was the popcorn that had just been touched by Paczynski's mouth, but he took that handful of popcorn into his mouth before Paczynski took a bite. It was very confusing.
Yeah, he didn't contaminate all existing popcorn when he put his head in there, just the ones that his face is directly in contact with.
I mean, who knows? We live in a world where if you lock eyes with a dog as you die, then you become the dog. So maybe
it's true.
You violate one piece of popcorn, every popcorn is rendered inedible.
I felt like this entire pilot felt like a Beck Bennett and Kyle Mooney parody, like something they would have made that would have come on 15 minutes before the end of SNL,
yeah, totally.
You know, or it's just like a trailer, which we found out about this because of a trailer my friend sent me, and it it gets there's some spoilers in the trailer. So make sure if you want to check out Puchinsky, maybe just go in blind.
Like, literally the whole show is this guy who was a policeman became a dog. Now it's a dog policeman. Like, that's it. Really, you don't need a whole series to tell this story. This one episode does a fine job.
It's not going
to
become like this 24 saga where there's just like multiple like terrorist attacks and stabbing.
There's no real plot. It's just this is a policeman dog.
Yeah.
So that's all there is.
It's one of the shows where the entire premise, I feel like you can do like the ultimate elevator pitch where you could explain it in like a sentence.
Mm-hmm.
Cop becomes dog. Mm-hmm. Three words.
Yeah.
Yeah. They could have had fun with it. I would have liked to write remaining episodes of this show.
Well, no one's stopping you from writing that screenplay.
I'll have to check on the rights from NBC. It's all on YouTube, by the way, so if you haven't seen
it. The first episode of the pilot's on YouTube.
Yeah, I'm guessing there will be no official channels that you can actually find that from.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, are you a fan in general of the body or the spirit swapping Freaky Friday
trading places? I love spirit swapping.
Yeah?
I love it, yeah.
It's your favorite?
There was that one with, was it Freaky? No, Lindsay Lohan and Jamie Lee Curtis was Freaky Friday.
Yeah.
There was the one with, I think, Rachel McAdams and, what's his name? Gigolo.
Rob Schneider?
Rob Schneider, yeah.
Rachel McAdams and
yeah, Rob Schneider's soul goes into Rachel McAdams.
Oh, is that
McAdams
the hot
body.
Chick?
I think so.
Oh, wait, is it a two-way swap, like face-off, or is it just
Rachel McAdams becomes
Rob Schneider?
Rob Schneider, yeah.
Oh.
But the movie is mainly about Rob Schneider. Rachel McAdams is Rob Schneider. Yeah, that's what the movie focuses on. You occasionally go back and see Rachel McAdams coming to terms with the fact that she now has like genitals and lives in squalor.
So is it a lot of... Okay, wait. So is the movie Rob Schneider acting feminine and Rachel McAdams like pissing on fences and just being a...
I mean, it doesn't play out that way, but what you're saying is... Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's more... Yeah.
I'm sure that movie was great then and holds up now.
I remember it, so...
I remember the poster. I think I worked at the theater when it
came out. I think Anna Faris was in it, maybe.
That sounds about right. Yeah. Kind of the like scary movie type age.
Yeah, but I like that.
Yeah?
Yeah, I like that stuff. I mean, I love Face Off, you know?
I was just going to say, at its core, isn't Face Off, like, it's a much more physical, like, mm-hmm. It's a much more realistic and grounded depiction
totally.
Of a swap, a spirit swap, because there's no spirit swapping. That can't happen.
That can't happen. Face swapping, absolutely.
You can attach blood vessels and everything.
Listen
and put
my voice!
Yes, microchips exist. They could change voices. We're going to get rid of these love handles here. The hair, everything, yeah. Great.
Doc, if you could do me one favor, I have this little scar here. If you could just...
He didn't need it at the end, though.
Right, he moved on.
He didn't
on,
need it. He had the memories. Log. Yeah.
What if I could... He takes that poor kid that grew up with Gina Gershon and just adopts him afterward. And then this poor kid is forced to live the life of this dead kid, Mikey, or
yes.
whatever his name
was. And this kid is after like witnessing massacres and everything in the drug den that he was raised in.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, John Travolta was giving this kid face waterfalls before he even adopted him, before he was part of the family. I mean, that's a lot of pressure.
Kid's going to have issues.
That's like if like you're... Like, significant other dies, and then you find someone else and then force them to, like, be in that, like that person in all ways.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that'd be really weird
it's
and
extremely
terrible.
Concerning, especially if it's happening from, like, the age of, like, Michael and Face-Off.
Yeah.
Yes. I feel like...
I have to be my murdered older brother now from
all,
now on.
Well, also dealing with all the PTSD of his horrible upbringing in the drug den.
Oh, my God.
So we saw a poster recently for The Shaggy Dog with Tim Allen.
Mm.
And so on the poster, that it's kind of like Photoshopped, like Tim Allen's eyes.
So
onto,
is that a similar thing?
That's what I'm wondering now. Mm-hmm. I think it must be, right? I'm guessing. Okay, let's guess what the plot of The Shaggy Dog is. I bet he's a family man. He's a successful businessman, Tim Allen is. And he's got a family and they get a dog. And something weird happens, and he becomes the dog.
Yeah, that's got to be what it is.
Okay, I don't know if Tim Allen, the man, if a dog spirit has inhabited him.
Can I read
the
synopsis?
Yes, please.
Deputy District Attorney Dave Douglas, played by Tim Allen,
mm-hmm.
is a workaholic and frequently puts his job before his family.
Yes.
After taking on a case involving an animal laboratory, he becomes infected with a top-secret serum that transforms him into a dog. Life as a canine gives Dave new perspective on the importance of family, but before he can make things right with his wife and kids, he must sniff out the villains responsible for the serum.
Okay, so it's not really a swap. It's more of a transformation. Tim Allen just becomes a dog.
Yeah, I mean, but to that end, like, Puccini isn't really a swap. It's
well, that's more, true, you know, because the man became the dog.
We don't see Peter Boyle trying to play a dog.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I wonder if, like, if it was a swap and, like, the Shaggy dog, if there's Tim Allen trying to do dog stuff and, like, lifting his leg to piss and things like that.
That would be amazing.
It would be.
That would be really funny. Can you imagine, like, just a person that acted like Razor?
No, they'd be locked up real quick.
That would be horrible.
Yes. I want to look up the trailer for the Shaggy Dog with Tim Allen. That sounds
all
right.
Yeah. I love all the poster art I've seen has been amazing. It's either Tim Allen, this like weird face fusion, like the middle animorph between Tim Allen and a Shaggy Dog. And then also it's the Shaggy Dog that looks really cute and happy riding in a car.
It's something of the human eyes on the dog face that I think is especially concerning.
It is.
Which like there's no way that plays out in the movie. They could not have put that much work into like frame by frame adding human eyes to the dog and that.
Yeah. I much prefer when they don't. Like, try to animate the animal's face to move along. You know what I mean? I'd rather the voice just come out. I think I just don't like how that looks.
I feel like maybe an exception, and I feel like you might feel the same way, is like the new Lion King, where it is all CG, and it is like, it looks extremely realistic, but like, that was just so well done that at no point did I think, like, oh, this looks weird, you know?
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like the old Conan bit where it's just like a live mouth over Bill Clinton's face or whatever. So, yeah, this is a. Is this pretty much what you expected from Puccini?
I mean, we saw the trailer.
Yeah.
It was the trailer.
There are no twists or turns or shocks for
not
you?
Not one thing.
No? Were your questions answered?
Well, the only thing that concerned me, like, besides what you already talked about, was when McKay and Puccini meet the woman and her daughter in the hotel room, in the apartment building for the first time, and the girl goes to pet Puccini, and the guy, and McKay is like, oh, no, he's not friendly. And the mom doesn't do anything about it. Like, she doesn't try to keep her child away from this unfriendly dog. Like, if someone tells you their dog is unfriendly, then you have to stay away from the dog.
This is a dangerous bulldog near your child.
Don't
who's
let
trying
your
to
kid,
pet
like, pet it and hug it.
You're going to lose a hand here any second. So, yeah. Shame we didn't get a full season, but check it out on YouTube if you want to see 21 minutes of Peter Boyle turn into a goddamn
get
dog.
You get all you need from the pilot. You don't need anything more.
Yes, you can watch the trailer and get the whole thing. You know what, the Nard Bites in the trailer. I actually think the audio on the Nard Bite was better in the trailer.
Oh, okay.
I think so. So, yeah, check that out. But that'll be it for this week on Painting the Stream. As always, we want to thank everyone on the old Patreon there.
Thank you, patrons.
Helping us out on that simple Patreon where it's $5, gets you an ad-free version of the podcast. Each and every week, you'll get a private RSS feed sent to you. And also, every single patron at the $5 level will get a Bonku written by Bonk.
Mm.
Bonk, do we have a Bonku this week?
Of course.
All right.
This Bonku is for a individual. Whose name, as far as I'm concerned, is Ron Ladd. I don't know if he goes by another name or if that's just like a little, like he put all the letters with the name Ronald in one of those like dice things.
Right, a little Yahtzee shaker.
Yeah, shaker. And then laid it all out and Ron Ladd what remained. But okay. I don't know. That's how I know him. And, you know, we go way back. He's a good dude. I feel like I might have done a Bonku for him before. I think he's supported us in the past. So thanks. Really appreciate it. And I hope this Bonku makes your day a little bit better. The small bag was torn. Ron Ladd dug through it to find the cherry flavor.
Oh, wow. I hope you found it.
So do I. It's the best flavor.
Yeah, Ron, let us know. Mm. We hope you found it. We hope you had a great day. And thank you so much for supporting us here.
Thanks,
on Painting
man.
The Stream. Yeah. Oh, boy. There goes Razor with us. Speaking of Puccini here. At one point during this, by the way, you turned to me and I believe earnestly asked me, hey, the golden retriever we're going to get, can we name it Puccini?
That would be a good name for a dog.
It's not bad. And there's not too many. You could do a few nicknames there. Poochie, Pooch, Poocher. Mm. Yeah, you could do some stuff there. Yeah. We'll see.
We'll see.
With our golden retriever here in a few months. If anyone's got any suggestions or comments or anything, you can email us at panningthestream@gmail.com. You can follow us at panthestream on Twitter to find out what we're going to do next week. And I guess that's it. Bonk,
that's all.
Thanks to you, as always, for joining me here on Painting the Stream.
Thank you, my sweet.
Thanks to everyone at home for listening, all of our patrons for helping keep the lights on, and we will talk to you all next week.
Thank you, Tom Onda.
Thanks, Tom Onda, for the theme song. Bye, everyone.